Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNRadio.com/Behind the Badge.
Cause freedom don't come free. I'm an American soldier, an American. Beside my brothers and my sisters, I will proudly take a stand. When liberty's in jeopardy, I will always do what's right. I'm out here on the front lines, sleep in peace tonight. American soldier.
All right, it's Dave Plyer back with you on 720 WGN. So America owes our veterans and their families an enormous debt of gratitude for risking their lives to protect our rights and freedoms. Some have made the ultimate sacrifice to safeguard our country, and for that, we are forever grateful. Jake Leinenkugel, former senior White House advisor to the Department of Veteran Affairs and is former president of the Jacob Leinenkugel Brewing Company, is now leading the Department of Veterans Affairs Commission on Mental Health. He is known to be an ambassador of change for the VA, and we are honored that he joins us once again tonight. Nice to have you back with us, Mr. Leinenkugel.
Dave, I'm very pleased to be with you and your audience at WGN, and thank you again for the invite.
Absolutely. You joined the Marine Corps, serving from 76 to 82, so to begin this conversation, please allow me to thank you for your service.
Well, that means a lot, and I know it's 40 years ago, and it doesn't seem that long, Dave, but I was very proud and felt it a privilege, believe it or not, to be a member of the Armed Forces of the United States, and quite honestly, I think as most veterans will say to anybody, their experience that they had while serving was something that will forever be etched in as part of the main period of their life.
Serving in the military is actually part of your family legacy.
It is. I mean, it started with going back, growing up with our father, Bill Leinenkugel, and he was a World War II Marine, and as he stated, very fortunate to be able to be one of the few that returned after 4 years in the Western Pacific Theater. And I know that watching him grow up with his veteran friends, very active in American Legion in Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, and then starting a Marine Club that actually had over 200 members. That was very much part of the World War II generation.
Sure.
It was getting, you know, all of their veteran friends together numerous times over the course of the year. So it was something that I did, my brother Dick did, and both my sons, Matt and CJ, all served in the Marine Corps as well, and that has been over the last 15 to 20 years in the most recent conflicts.
Well, and we thank them for their service as well. You know, we are living, Jake, in an extremely divisive political time in America, and you have strongly communicated over the last 6 months that the commitment of what this current president, whether you like him or not, is adamant that the VA and the veterans get the best possible access to quality care when and where they need it, male or female, and that is really the transition we're going through right now.
It really is, Dave. And you know, this started back in 2014, and it's a place where I spend a lot of time, where, you know, it was called Ground Zero at that time in 2014, was the Phoenix VA that was supposedly and then found out to be true, you know, doctoring the times that veterans were waiting to get care within the VA. And some of those veterans were waiting so long that actually their symptoms became so problematic that they passed away, which created something that was a sense of urgency. Was with the VA really in that sorry of a condition or state? And it didn't take long to find out that there was numerous VAs that had wait time and access issues in 2014. So there was an immediate change that gave veterans the choice where they could go out into the private sector to get their care if it was available to them. And we found out that the overall general health care situation in the United States was pretty jammed up. There just weren't enough doctors. And, you know, the wait times in the private sector sometimes were just as long as the VA. So there has been an ongoing four-year sense of urgency to make sure that at least all of our veterans are getting better access to care, quality care outcomes. And so there's just a lot of oversight going on within the VA right now, which I think we all believe was very necessary and is necessary. And it's something that we're finding there, again, is a bigger sense of urgency, not just within the current administration, but across the country right now that stretches into the private sector health care as well. So the answer is we're hard at work at it. The current Secretary, Robert Wilkie, has been adamant that our veterans across the system are getting in on a timely basis. And I think that we're starting to see some great progress, Dave.
And we're talking about general care there, but we also talk about mental health in all of this, especially for our veterans who have served. The suicide rate for veterans had gone up 35% since 2001, roughly 20 veterans commit suicide a day. About 70% of veterans who took their own lives were actually not even using the VA services. One is too many. And there's programs in place now that you're working on through several organizations to help these veterans and to reduce this number to zero. It's got to get to zero.
Yeah, absolutely. And everybody says that's an impossible task, and none of us believe that to be true. Otherwise, we wouldn't be heading up these commissions and doing the work. And it is. I mean, this is a national situation that we have with suicides across the board. But our commission right now is really concentrating solely on the veterans. And I'll tell you, we've got DOD, we've got HHS, we've got the National Institute for Health. We're looking at every avenue to make sure that we have the right appropriate staffing and people on board to make sure that veterans at least are getting, you know, again, I go back to access to care. Are they getting the mental health services that are within the VA? Are they adequate? Are there other things that we could be looking at as complementary and integrated health care modalities of treatment for them? So there is a whole range of things that we're looking hard at, and we've only got about 13, 14 more months to come up with suggestions and solutions to get the daily 20 suicides of veterans down to zero. So it's a big task.
And that's why you're now focused on COVR, which is Creating Options for Veterans Expedited Recovery Commission. And I've read the documents of what this mission is, and it's very aggressive, but I think something that has needed attention for a long time and something that certainly can be accomplished.
That's really why I chose to do this. I debated for a long time, number one, if I wanted to stay in D.C. or if I wanted to be more proactive on a national basis, and I was very fortunate to have the president nominate me for leading up this commission. And I can tell you this, the nine other commissioners are fantastic. They have terrific medical backgrounds, in particular mental health and mental health care. Not only within the VA, but with the private sector, with a lot of other institutes that are working on mental health. And so every one of the commissioners is fully in on the COVR commission, and I really think we're making some great progress just 3 or 4 months into our commission work right now. But this is something, Dave, that's open to the public. They can access COVR commission. They can participate as far as listening into each one of our meetings. And they can also access a website where they can see all the notes and transcripts of what we have talked about and looking at new creative modalities of care, such as complementary and integrative approaches that have not currently been instituted across the board. Some of those are, like I think you have read, it might be equine therapy, working with horses, dogs, music, yoga therapy, acupuncture, outdoor sports activities. And overall, the list is quite large, and we have to look at each one of those to see if they are helping our veterans actually become much more participatory in their wellness of care.
Yeah, I was really honestly quite impressed with this list, because this wasn't just about medication. This just wasn't about therapy, seeing a therapist, psychologist to get you through this. But, I mean, you're really digging deep in things that that are prevalent in society of how we treat mental health, and to bring this to the VA, I think really from all over the years that this hasn't been paid attention to, this is pretty groundbreaking.
It is, and I'm glad that you read through that, Dave, and took a look at it. And I and the rest of the commissioners believe it to be not just the start for veterans, and that's what we're focusing on, but this is something that hopefully the recommendations, suggestions to new solutions for modalities of care, such as we just spoke about, and some of these new techniques can be implemented across the board and even into the private sector for mental health care.
Very good things happening in Washington. Now, we also celebrate Veterans Day, but it's also National Veterans and Military Families Month, because we must remember that the families make a great sacrifice in all of this as well.
They certainly do. And, you know, it's something that we take for granted lots of times, but when he or she, as the veteran, comes back from their active duty service, it's absolutely essential that the family become very involved in their transition back into being a civilian patriot. And families go through a lot, and in most cases, especially with veteran health care, families are the ones that have to be involved in making sure that that veteran is getting care at the VA medical center of their choice, that they are able to be transported for and make their appointments, and also if they have issues. And let's just talk about mental health, because that's what Cover Commission is looking at, to ensure that they are getting the proper care on time. And families can be very supportive and need to be very involved during this transition period. Then we also have to look at the ones that have been injured. Somebody has to take care of these veterans. So again, in most all cases, it's families or family members that are helping these veterans out. So I'm glad that you brought that up, because it is an integral part in the overall care for our veterans, and that's the family structure.
Well, it's critical, especially when it comes to mental health. Some people can't help themselves. They're so deep into depression or anxiety that they can't help themselves, and we have to count on the families to bring them in and get them the help they need.
No question about that, Dave.
Now, there is so much planned in Washington today on Veterans Day. Of course, everything kicking off and surrounding Arlington National Cemetery.
That is by far the biggest. And the other thing that is a tradition is for the Secretary of the VA to host a national breakfast for the Veteran Service Organization heads across the country. And many of them come in, hundreds. And the Secretary Wilkie this year will be hosting in the morning at the National Press Club a very wonderful breakfast to honor those veteran service organizations who, by the way, do a lot of work in the transition of veterans coming back from active duty service. So it's important that their presence be made across America, that they're just not good old boys clubs anymore. They're right. Taking care of women veterans, they're taking care of the transitional veterans coming back from some very tough deployments. So that breakfast is very important. And then they head over to Arlington Cemetery, which I can tell you from my two experiences is one of the most humbling wreath-laying ceremonies at one of the iconic cemeteries that we have for our veterans in the world, and that's Arlington National Cemetery.
Jake, it's always a pleasure spending some time with you. I thank you for joining us and for serving our 22 million veterans every single day, sir.
Well, again, it's my honor and privilege, and Dave, I always enjoy talking to you and the WGN listener group out there. So thank you again so much, and as a reminder to all your listeners, not only thank a veteran for their service, but you know, do a follow-up question and ask he or she where they served. You may be intrigued by some of their answers.
Wonderful idea. Thank you again, sir.
Thanks, Dave.
All right, much more ahead on 720 WGN.